In English, I was speaking the word of the first psalm, which is known as the Psalm of Psalms. This psalm isn't the first psalm for no reason. It is the first psalm because it really touches the topics which all the other psalms really touch. About righteousness and their end, and the wicked and their end. And this psalm especially moved me when I read it. I think it's like the same for every one of you. When you read the first psalm, you have a sense of knowing God. And before I start, I wanted to tell you a story at my work of a lady who had a bed sore. She was a very old lady in her 80s, and she had a bed sore. She was laying in bed for so long that she had a sore, and that sore ended up becoming necrotizing fasciitis. I'm not sure if you guys heard of that before, but it's a very aggressive bacteria. The bacteria is so aggressive, it eats your flesh as you look at it. It's that fast. And they brought this patient to our hospital. We, you know, cut it out. That's the only way it's treated. It's too powerful for antibiotics. So we cut it out, tried to fix her as well as we can. Later the next day, we found out she died. Why she died? Because this bacteria was underneath her skin, and it traveled all the way into her leg, and we didn't see it. And it traveled at such a rate that it pretty much ate her up alive, and she was no more. And why I bring this up, because what David in verse 1 brings up, blessed is the man, then he says, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He makes a step. He speaks of something that's called a domino effect. Let me read it for you guys. It's blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we have that distinction between the righteous and the ungodly. But it's interesting, why does David begin the way that he does? He says blessed and then mentions things that a blessed man does not do. He says blessed and then the blessed man does not do those things that he does. And as I said, he wants to show us what the blessed man escapes. He wants to show us what he is not before what he is. He wants to show us what he is not. Perhaps the reason for that are lukewarm Christians. Are lukewarm Christians, such as Saul, the first king of Israel. He was a man that was going to the temple, but yet worried about what people thought instead of what God thought. Or like a lukewarm church of Laodicea, as we read in Revelation chapter 2. They were warm, but they were not cold nor hot. And because they were warm, Christ said he spit them out. And as David here brings it up, the danger of warmness. How dangerous is it to being warm? He brings it up here. A warm man in his self-confidence will walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He will think nothing of it. He won't think it's that big of a deal. Everyone else does it. Everyone else has ungodly friends. I will do it too. It's okay. But just like Israel was united with other nations around it, we read the early story of Israel when those two men came to them. They were poorly dressed in poor clothing and bad loaf of bread. And they say, we came from a long distance, but because they did not ask the counsel of God, they accepted him to their own destruction, to their own wickedness, their own weakness. And just like people of nowadays, and people of all of the times, they have unbelieving friends. And they think of nothing of it. It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine to have unbelieving friends. But notice what David says. Blessed who walk not, nor stand not, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I do not believe David is saying, I do believe that David is speaking of a graduate downfall, a gradual downfall here. First, a warm man will walk amongst the ungodly. He will walk amongst them. Soon after that, the influence of the ungodly man will make him to be a sinner just as his friend is. And he won't even notice because his roots are not in God. He will walk with them. He will be like them. And then, finally, God will leave him to their own desires, and they will eventually curse God. They will scoff him. Just as we read the song, Hosanna, we know that they were singing Hosanna, and then a couple of days after that, they were cursing him, saying, crucify him. And therefore, as Apostle Paul says, let all who think they stand take heed lest you fall. And it's crucially important, we read this in all of the Bible, how it's always mentioned, examine yourself. Are you in the faith? Are you walking in the faith? Do you know God? How can I tell if I'm standing with godly men, even if I may not have unbelieving friends? How do I know if I am in that category? Am I a blessed man? Am I a child of God? First of all, as David said, you will not walk in the path of sinners. That's one way. If you do, then you may want to examine yourself. You may not be his child. Secondly, that brings to verse 2. The blessed man delights in the word of God. He delights in his law. His law is the word of God. He delights in it. He doesn't only enjoy it, he delights, he loves it. And then he meditates on it day and night. He doesn't only read it, he meditates upon it. He memorized it and he thinks about it wherever he goes. This is inescapable. People can pretend to be believers, but whether they delight in God's word, they cannot pretend. You cannot pretend to delight God's word. You either love the word of God or hate it. The ungodly men, you will either walk with ungodly men or you will walk with God's word. John 3:19 says, men loved darkness rather than the light. So you either love the darkness or you love God's word. There's nothing in between. It just cannot be. There's two powers, either the power of God or the power of Satan. Which category are you in? David loved God's word so much, to a degree that he stayed in church for an hour, 2 hours, if you're in Sacramento maybe. Or is it that he delighted in God's word so much that he read the Bible 5 minutes a day before he maybe goes to sleep or when he wakes up? No. That is not the case for him. He delights in it so much that when he wakes up, he reads Scripture. When he goes to sleep, he reads Scripture. He reads it to such an extent that it's in his heart, it's in his mind. He sees it, he knows it, he loves it. He delighted in it always. He immediately thought of it always. It was continually on his mind. How do we know if we truly believe in Christ? Then David here says, the result of the blessed man, the result of that delight in verse 3. If you read verse 3, the blessed man is the result, the outcome. He is like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings fruit in its season. The leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you delight in enjoying God's word, if we delight and enjoy in God's word, then we will be like that tree planted by God himself by the rivers of water. Notice that this tree is not a wild tree. It's not a bush. It's a tree. It's a tree that is planted. And also notice that David doesn't say that somehow on its own. No, it's planted. So our Heavenly Father knows where he plants his own. If we are God's workmanship, if we are his workmanship, if we are his instruments, if we are the instruments of God planted by his glorious hand, then fruits will arise. It's just something that will happen. If you don't have fruits, again, you may want to examine yourself. You may want to see if you are truly in the faith. It's extremely crucial. The day will come when you cannot all of a sudden repent. Because first of all, repentance comes from the Lord. And then what kind of fruit, you may ask, is he talking about? Well, Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. He speaks of, I'm sorry, in Galatians 5:22 through verse 23, the fruits of the Spirit. There's love, joy, peace, loving kindness, long suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Or in Isaiah 61, verse 3, that they may be called trees of righteousness planted of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So we are planted for his glory, not for our own likeness, for our own enjoyment. We are not to be Christians to receive a Ferrari or a Porsche. We are Christians that we may glorify God, that we may bring him glory, whether it be through our brothers and sisters up here singing or through any other reason. We are to bring him glory. That's why we are the trees that we are. And in, like I said, in Jeremiah 17, verse 7 through 8, it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and with no fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." So the fruits will not stop, no matter what comes, no matter what kind of heat comes your way, you will not stop. And in Israel's kind of climate, it's almost similar as the Death Valley, where it reaches 120 plus. That's extremely hot. And here Jeremiah says he will produce fruit no matter what kind of heat comes. And so David here is giving us evidences of Christianity. We will first be a tree planting of the Lord, and fruits will not cease to grow. Therefore, let us who think we stand, again, take heed. We will have fruits. Fruits will not cease, and a leaf shall not wither. With a tree that is planted also comes power and might. Not our might, no, but God's might, God's strength. We are only the tree that we are by God's strength, by the power that God gives us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." We are strong in the Lord of his might. Our strength means nothing at all. Our strength, even for the most part, is only our weakness. And the leaf will not wither because the Spirit of God sustains it. The leaves show the strength of that tree, the beauty of that tree. That's why it's always nourished by the Word of God. And because we are sustained by the Lord of glory, we shall be prosperous. But don't get confused with prosperity that the world sees. It's not a prosperity that the world sees, but it's a prosperity that the eyes of the Spirit sees. The eye of the world sees prosperity as a mega church, if you're going amongst religious people, or amongst the people who don't know who God is. Prosperity, like I mentioned, having a Porsche or a Ferrari or maybe a yacht or whatever it may be. That is not the prosperity that he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual eyes. The kingdom of God will be advancing. That's the prosperity. When you are his child, you make the kingdom of God prosper. It moves forward and it continues to advance, and it always will be advancing. And I'd like to end this with this thought. Matthew 15, verse 13. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. And then another place it says, where does he put those uprooted plants? In the eternal fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So examine yourself before it's too late. The time is coming, and it will come. Thank you. Amen.